The word Bible from the Greek ta biblia is plural and means books. This reflects the fact that the Bible is a collection of individual books. Today we're going to look at the sections or divisions of the Bible and how and why the books are organized the way they are. It gives us important information when we're examining and interpreting the biblical text. So join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. I want to examine the structure of the Bible by looking at the Hebrew Bible first and then comparing it to the Protestant English Bible, and then seeing how the sections of the Bible relate to the historical time periods. Now, today's episode has what I would consider foundational information, so it may be a review for many of you, but it may also include some new information you weren't aware of previously. We're going to look at the Hebrew Bible first because it was the Bible at the time of Jesus. When Jesus referred to the scriptures, he was referring to the texts that formed the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bible is commonly referred to as the Tanakh, which is an acronym for the three sections: the Torah, or Law, the Nevi'im, or Prophets, and the Ketuvim, or Writings. The Law consists of 5 books, the Prophets consist of 8 books, and the Writings consist of 11 books. So altogether, there are 24 books, or originally, scrolls. Let's look more closely at each of the books of these sections or divisions. The Law consists of the 5 books of Moses. It is called the Torah and means instruction in Hebrew. This section has the historical narratives regarding creation, worldwide events, the patriarchs, and the formation of the nation of Israel. Genesis, called Bereshit in Hebrew, which means the beginning, tells the story of creation, the fall, Noah and the flood, and the period of the patriarchs, beginning with Abraham and God's covenant, and concluding with Joseph in Egypt. Exodus in Hebrew is called Shemot, which means names, and it tells of how the family of Jacob was enslaved in Egypt, but saved by God and brought to freedom at Mount Sinai. Leviticus is called Vayikra in Hebrew, which means, "and God called." It mostly deals with the laws of Israelite sacrificial worship and includes a section called the Holiness Code. The book of Numbers is called Bamidbar in Hebrew, which means in the wilderness. It begins with a census and covers the disastrous spying expedition into Canaan and the years of Israel living in the wilderness. The final book of the Torah is Deuteronomy, called Devarim in Hebrew, meaning words. It was Moses' final words or message to the people of Israel. The names in Hebrew are based on the first word or one of the first few words at the beginning of each book. The Torah is read by modern Jews on an annual cycle. The 5 books of Moses have been divided into 54 separate portions, each one named for the first word or words of the passage, and each is aligned to a specific week. The weekly portion is read aloud or chanted from the Torah scroll as part of the Torah service in synagogue on Shabbat. The second section is the Prophets, which contains a total of 8 books. This section has 2 subsections, the Former Prophets and the Latter Prophets. The Former Prophets include 4 narrative books that tell the early part of Israel's history after the death of Moses: Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. In the English Bible, the book of Samuel is in 2 books and Kings is in 2 books, but they are just 1 book each in the Hebrew Bible. They cover the lives of Joshua, a variety of judges, Samuel, Saul, David, Solomon, Elijah, and Elisha, and more. The books contain many direct prophecies, such as promises about the Messiah. The latter prophets include a total of 15 prophetic writings in four groups, named after the individuals who left their prophetic legacies. Three are what we would call major prophets because of the large extent of their writings. They are Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Then there are 12 prophets that have shorter writings, not less important, but shorter. They are sometimes called the minor prophets, but that term is kind of misleading because, again, they're not minor in importance, just minor in size. In the Hebrew Bible, these 12 shorter writings were grouped into one scroll called, appropriately, the 12. All of these prophets spoke on behalf of God and often had a difficult and unpopular mission. The last division of the Hebrew Bible is known as the Ketuvim, or writings. Sometimes the writings are subgrouped in various ways, but the three groupings of poetical, five rolls, and historical are probably the most common. The writings are really an anthology or collection. The writings include poetry such as Psalms, Proverbs, and Job. The Psalms were used as liturgies for public celebrations in the temple, but also for private prayer. The poetry addresses topics such as temple ritual, private prayer, wisdom, national tragedy, and love. Five of the books of the writings, known as the Five Scrolls or the Five Rolls, have become part of the modern Jewish liturgy. They are the Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Esther, and Ecclesiastes. Each one is chanted in the synagogue on a specific holiday. Then there are the historical books, such as Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah as one book, and Chronicles. Taken together, the three-part arrangement of the Hebrew Bible includes the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. The Hebrew Bible was originally written on scrolls, and it was a collection of these individual writings. Now, determining which writing should be included and considered God's word is a process called canonization. We don't know exactly when the Hebrew Bible was canonized. Scholars argue that it was somewhere probably between the 3rd century BC and the 1st century AD. So there are different opinions as to when the canon of the Hebrew Bible was set. But it was by the time of Jesus, and may have been as early as the 3rd century BC. This three-part division of the Hebrew Bible becomes especially important when we recognize that Jesus himself confirmed it. Jesus referred to this three-part structure in Luke 24 when he appeared to his disciples, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." The law of Moses was the Torah, the prophets were the second section, and the Psalms was the largest part or the largest book within the writings. So Jesus seems to have been referring to all three sections. And Jesus called these sections the scriptures, and he said that they concerned him. In fact, Jesus went on to say, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It is written." The gospel is nested within the Hebrew Bible. So Jesus confirmed the three-part structure of the Hebrew Bible, called the contents scripture, which confirms their inspiration from God, and said that they concerned him. So how did we get from the structure of the Hebrew Bible to the English Bible? Well, the Protestant English Old Testament includes the same books as the Hebrew Bible, and that is really a critical point. But some of the books were divided into two parts, such as Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and Ezra, Nehemiah, and the 12 was divided into individual books. Some Bibles, such as those used by the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, include some extra books that Orthodox Judaism did not deem as canonical. And most Protestant Bibles include the same books as the Hebrew Bible. They're just grouped differently. The Protestant Bible groups the books in four sections: the Law, historical books, wisdom books, and prophets. Sometimes the prophets are listed as two sections because they're divided into the major prophets and the minor prophets based on the extent of their writings. But it's important to recognize that the 24 books of the Hebrew Bible, or the Jewish Tanakh, are the same as the 39 books in the Protestant Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, they're just grouped together based on the type of literature that they are. This provides an organizational structure. In our Christian Bible, the books of the Hebrew Bible are called the Old Testament because they represent the Old Covenant. Of course, Jesus fulfilled the Old Covenant and inaugurated the New Covenant, or the New Testament. So, our Christian Bibles have a section called the New Testament that the Hebrew Bible obviously would not have. The New Testament consists of five divisions or sections. The Gospels tell the story of Jesus' life and ministry. The Book of Acts is historical and details the beginning and growth of the church. Paul's epistles or letters were written to specific churches, and they are named for the intended audience. The general epistles were letters to churches and to specific people who were already in church. And then the Bible concludes with the prophetic book of Revelation about the end times. So to recap, the Protestant Bible has 66 books total. The 39 books of the Old Testament align with the canon of the Hebrew Bible, but they're grouped a little differently. And then the New Testament has 27 books. The books of the Protestant Bible are grouped by their genre. I'm planning to discuss Bible genres in an upcoming episode because genres are another helpful frame for analyzing the biblical text. I want to conclude today's episode by looking at one more chart. I've listed the historical stages that we discussed in the last episode in the second column. Then in the third and fourth columns are the sections of the Bible using the categories of the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament. I want you to see how they align. The books of the law, or the books of Moses, are chronological, and they cover creation through the wandering in the wilderness. Then the former prophets, the books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, provide historical narrative about the period of the conquest of the Promised Land and the period of the kingdoms. The latter prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12, offer commentary during this time, especially urging Israel to be faithful to their covenant with God. The pre-exilic writings also occur in this period. Ruth occurred during the time of the judges. During the monarchical period, David and others wrote Psalms, and Solomon composed the Proverbs, Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. Then during the exile and initial restoration, we have the latter writings, which include Lamentations, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. In looking at the New Testament, Christ's work is narrated in the Gospels, and the history of the early church is narrated in the Book of Acts. Commentary about the work of Christ in the early church is provided in the Pauline and general epistles. Then the Bible concludes with the book of Revelation. Now, this is a really broad view, and we could dive into more detail in each one of these sections, but hopefully this is a helpful overview so you can see the relationship between the time periods and the sections of the Bible. In the previous episode, we looked at historical stages, dispensations, and covenants. it's beneficial when examining a passage of Scripture to determine how it relates to a particular dispensation or covenant. In this episode, we've examined the books of the Bible to see how they're grouped together and organized, and how those groupings relate to historical stages. This may seem like simplistic information, but it is foundational for a proper understanding of Scripture. I hope this information is useful for you, and you may want to use it as Bible study material with a new convert to help them see God's divine design and how all of this interrelates. And we're going to use this information as a springboard for a future episode about genres in the Bible, because genres provide us with another frame or tool, which, when used carefully and properly, help us examine the biblical text and derive a correct understanding from it. It is amazing how God, as the author of Scripture, inspired many different writers over a period of about 1,500 years to form one progressively unfolding story of redemptive history. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic, and until next time, take care and God bless.